Just this week, after a surprise drop-in visit from my boss's boss's boss, I came to a very scary and disturbing understanding.
Deseret News columnist Steve Eaton.
As I reviewed the encounter in my mind, I realized that under the stress of it all, several things I said came out of my mouth completely missing any of the mental filters I have in place to keep myself out of court and trouble. I was literally hearing things directly from my mouth for the very first time as I spoke them. It was like I was an observer, unable to stop someone else from saying something stupid about me. While this may prove entertaining to others, it's not helpful to me vocationally. This would not be a problem if, like some idiot savant, I was offering remarkable insight that could impress and amaze my boss. Instead, I heard myself asking if I could take credit for all of his accomplishments after he died. Now, I know for a fact that I did not consciously strategize that if he ever came back to my office, I would immediately suggest he die and let me take credit for his accomplishments. It just flew out of my mouth, wild and free, like an out-of-control skunk on a water slide. If my mouth has this much independent power, it just makes me think I should be very careful about what I think about. What if I were suddenly to blurt out something about wishing I had married Marianne from Gilligan's Island when I was a teenager, or just started suddenly rambling on about the need to develop a diet pill that would help me lose weight by making me extremely tall? No wonder they don't invite me to sit at the head table anymore. Despite the verbal stupidity, I know the encounter with this high-ranking person in my life could have and has gone worse. On at least three separate occasions when I have discovered this boss suddenly standing next to my desk, I have simply turned and screamed at him as if he were an executive zombie or an alien CEO. This has never been a good way to start a professional office encounter, and it might explain why I have been given a new special office in the basement. It's clear that even under serious stress, sometimes my mouth won't stay on message. However, sometimes I don't even need to be stressed to have my mouth go rogue. Once I was working at a big company where an attorney, who was a friend of mine, was known for scaring people to death with stories about how easy it is to get a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against you. She prompted this paranoia in little seminars. It was like a thankless job, and I wanted to pay her a compliment so she would know her work had been effective. You know, Janice, every time I think of having an inappropriate relationship with another woman, I think of you, I probably told her over lunch in the company cafeteria. Normally unflappable, she buried her face in her hands and said, "Steve, that is wrong on oh so many levels." Thankfully, she didn't sue me. 2 weeks ago, I visited another church and was asked to introduce myself. Before I knew what was happening, I stood up and said, "I'm just going to be here a few weeks until the sentencing, and then I'll be gone for 5 or 6 years, and then I'll be back." At least I didn't mention Marianne. My mouth has even been able to spontaneously orchestrate statements that involve the cooperation of my hands. Once, when my sister brought over an important boy to our house, who we knew she was not supposed to marry, I found myself acting out my own little impromptu drama. In the middle of the meal, I looked down at my hand as if I was hiding a 3x5 card just out of view below the table and said, "Liz, these are wonderful mashed potatoes. What a fine cook you are. You'll make someone a wonderful wife someday." "What?" she said with a horrified look on her face, fearing yet another embarrassing prank was about to begin at exactly the wrong moment. My little brother Rob picked up the ball by immediately looking down at his hand and said, as if reading carefully, "Yes, Liz, you're quite a cook. Any guy who marries you will be lucky indeed." "Dad, tell them to stop it," she said, pleading with my father, who also seemed surprised by the scripted outburst. Then my father, to the horror of my sister, looked at his hand and said, as if reading, "It is true, my daughter, you have always been such a lovely person. You make delicious peas and carrots. You are certainly someone who will be married soon." In this case, it proved a good thing because it helped my sister marry the right guy. It just took her a few years for her to see how much we had helped her out. I guess in some ways the ability to talk without activating any brain cells is like a mild superpower. It appears both Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama have this skill to some extent, and it seems clear that there are others in Washington, D.C. who have nearly perfected it. I would prefer not to have this gift at all, however. I've considered just abruptly screaming at anyone who chooses to speak with me as if my foot is on fire, but I'm not sure that would help me vocationally or socially. There must be a way to harness my superpower for good. What kind of job could I have where I could just say whatever came to my mind with no filters? For now, I feel like I'm just biding my time, waiting for the next gaffe to come out of my mouth. And I hate that. Hey, I wonder if Mitt Romney would reconsider his VP pick. That guy he picked, he seems too smart. This is Steve Eaton.